Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall. Months in producing. New Year's Eve, everybody. Amateur hour tonight. Be safe. Don't be stupid. Be smart. Take a ride share, an Uber, a Lyft, a cab. Walk home. Don't do anything dumb because all the amateurs are out in full force tonight. Happy New Year's, boys. How we doing?
Doing good. Hey, listen, if I got to tell you not to do something stupid, then the hell would you do something stupid? It's only on you. It ain't on me.
You're not going to help anybody tonight? You're not going to try to be a man of the people and give them a message today and say...
For what?
I don't know, just to help people out.
It's the same message we've given you 364 days this year.
Yeah, but whatever stick to sports is basically based on those
exactly.
two things.
Right, exactly. What if it affects you, though? These people out there, this is the problem with drinking and driving. It doesn't affect me. I don't drink and drive, so I'm fine. You know why you shouldn't drink and drive? So you don't hit me.
You know what?
But so it could affect you because you'll be driving around tonight because you're sober and you're not a drinker, and so you'll be going to your party and then you'll probably head on home, and there's going to be a lot of knuckleheads driving around tonight, all right? So I just want you to be safe, so I'm asking everybody else to be careful around the black range.
No. I mean, if you tell them...
I'm trying,
Derek. You can't tell them not to drink because the knuckleheads that...
Just don't drive tonight.
That... have been drinking and driving for 364 days. They're going to drink and drive on the 365th day of the year, headed into the first day of the year. They're going to drink and drive.
We're not getting through to those folks anyway. Yeah. Those ones have real problems, and we hope they work their way through those problems.
So, just need to do a commercial with Derek Mason. Like, I'm Derek Mason. He puts his foot on a rock. Like, don't be stupid today on this New Year's Eve.
I've always thought, grown folks going to do what grown folks do. You know,
and this is Grown Folk Radio. This is a Grown Folk Radio show.
They're going to drink and drive. They're going to drink and drive. And little old Derek, if I tell them not to drink and drive, they still going to drink and drive. That's nothing
I can
do.
Well, you know what? Fine. You sit over there and you go ride around tonight. I'm not leaving the house because I don't like Halloween, St. Patrick's Day, or New Year's Eve because it is the amateurist of amateur hours. And don't get me wrong. I mean, we'll pop a little bottle of champagne.
Every Friday and Saturday is amateur hour.
But this is worse though. Everyone, they feel like
they have to drink.
No, they feel like they're all X-Men tonight. Like everyone feels like they're the Hulk.
The Avengers.
You know what I mean?
The Avengers are out in full force.
Yeah, tonight. Like there's 46 packs of Avengers running around Nashville tonight, and they're going to be in every inch of this town until God knows what time. And I don't want a single bit of it. I don't want any part of it.
That's why you got to stay away from the league where the amateurs play. That's why you got to play where the big boys play.
Which is where?
Lower Antioch.
L.A. They're going to get real sauced over there.
Lower Antioch technically was the place where that girl twerked on top of the car. So I don't know if that's a safe bet.
I am a professional. I will have plenty of cocktails at my house with my wife after the kids have gone to bed. That's the professional, Derek. See?
Yeah.
Professional.
No, like
I'm in sweat. I'm in a pair of pants that has elastic on it, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't want anything with some belt loops. I know you're going to be all fancy with your fancy suit and your fancy hair. You get your hair all fancy. You'll be out having a fancy time, and I love that too. That's fun too. I've done that plenty of times. We didn't find a babysitter in time, and it's very expensive to find babysitters on New Year's Eve, so I think we might just order in tonight and have a good time. But the professionals, you know, there'll be some brown water at the house tonight. A little champagne, a little brown water, celebrate the new year. By the way, I'm sure everyone in their life is doing this right now. We'll get to the Titans, by the way, and the Winter Classic. Can't wait for all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But 2020, seriously, y'all, 2020, that's a lot of years.
That's a show.
That's a lot of years.
We finally, Barbara Walters coming out.
Barbara Walters.
I thought hindsight was 2020. No, tomorrow's 2020.
Yes. Tomorrow's 2020.
I'm a little taken aback by the idea that it's 2020. It is my 20th anniversary of my high school graduation.
Is it?
Which is crazy, which means I'm just getting older, basically, every single day. That part's insane to me. It's just another decade. I can't believe we're going into another decade. It's just, it's crazy to me, 2020. So be safe out there, please, tonight, Nashville, everybody. Like, it's just...
Stay your ass home, Nashville. That's what you need to do. That's what you need to do. Yeah, so I mean, can be
unless,
safe.
If you're single,
Munson,
that's kind of boring, you know?
Brayden's going to be safe.
Oh, yeah, I'm totally... you can't touch me, man.
Shoot, just stay
home.
I got
the alarm system on the dogs there. You can't touch me. Marquise, what are you doing tonight? I know Derek's got a... Are you going, like, black tie tonight, or what are you doing?
I don't know what I'm doing, man.
Well, I was
going
to say...
See, Derek's waiting for the best offer. He's like a free agent. He's just waiting for the best offer.
Pretty much. He's just like, yeah, put my name on any list you want.
Just put my name on all the lists.
text me about 8:45. I'll let you know where I'm going.
Put my name on all the
lists. It's
going to
be like a recruiting trip for Derek. He may stop by like, I don't like these cocktails. I'm going to go over. I'm going to go across the street.
What's the Gulch have to offer? No, okay. What, downtown? Oh, okay, no.
They're right. Finger foods.
West End.
Man, finger
okay.
foods are not that good. Oh, I'm gonna go over here. I'm gonna go over here.
What's Munson? Are you going? Have you? This is your first New Year's in Nashville, right?
Well, I actually was gonna save this for Stick to Sports. Like, this was gonna be a question on Stick to Sports, but I'll bring it up now. So, I wanted to do the whole. This is my first year in Nashville. Uh-huh. Obviously, I wanted to kind of do it up big, but part of me, like, I've lived in Nashville now for a year, and it makes me not want to go do that stuff.
The Broadway.
Yes, because like,
well, the Bicentennial thing is the big one, though, right?
Yeah,
like,
because
isn't that the big party?
I already don't like going out there as it is, I don't want to do that times 10.
Yeah, it'd be times 20.
So the only times I've ever did it is when I lived like a block and a half from downtown. Like when I lived at the Encore, which is like right there a block off of Broadway, we would put champagne bottles like in our jacket pockets. Uh-huh. And we'd be walking around on Broadway, but they didn't care. They kind of let you
do what you want.
I mean, also, here's another lesson, a quick little life lesson. We're just going to be teaching you guys about life today on the show. Like, if you've act like you've been there before.
Some people act like they have it.
That amateur hour, Derek. Yeah, no, my point.
Okay.
If you just act like you've been there before, I have walked. I'm not trying to like get myself in trouble here. Mm-hmm. Like I have on Titans games, I have walked past police officers carrying a bottle of beer and just drinking out of it. Because as long as you just act like you've been there before, you're not being unruly, you're not getting in fights, you're not acting like a complete moron, they're largely going to let you do what you want to do. And we used to walk out there on Broadway on New Year's Eve, and it would before it got like stupid packed. Mm-hmm. This was like 09, 10, 11, 12, which is a very long time ago now that I think about it. And we would just walk around pouring each other's champagne. We just pour champagne in each other's solo cups and walk around downtown and have a good time. And, you know, we got hurt. We weren't acting crazy. Just act like you've been there before.
Yeah. And I don't have a problem with Broadway because, I go out on Broadway. I'll be at Tin Roof tomorrow for the Winter Classic. Be watching that there at Tin Roof on Broadway.
Cool.
So make sure you guys check that out, too, as well. But I don't have a problem with it. It's just sometimes on certain weekends, it's too packed. I already don't like waiting for, you know, drinks because I'm impatient. Like,
a lot of tourists.
If I'm empty, I need to be refilled.
Like, you need to be on chat right now.
Marquise has no patience.
I have none. Not for like waiting for drinks, man. That takes forever on
Especially
Broadway.
When you're in a packed place. You order your drink,
and you're doing
20, 30 minutes later, you get a drink.
And then you get your two drinks, and you do this number where you have to hold them up at your shoulders and slide to side past people to get to your table.
And then I can't wear nice clothes or nice shoes because like they're going to get stepped on. They're going to get ruined. Yeah. Like when I first moved out here and I went to Broadway, my like new pair of shoes got ruined because it was like water all on the floor.
Oh,
man, come on.
So
and so there's just certain reasons why I try to avoid it. Now, daytime Broadway is awesome. Like I go down.
No, I love. I'm with you on that. Actually.
And that's why I'm going to Tin Roof to go watch the Winter Classic. And also, you guys should do that as well.
Okay.
But yeah, I like it.
Because there's a lot more families. It's a little bit more chill.
Yeah, it's a little bit more chill and laid back.
This right here. This should have been plastered off across every billboard downtown. Okay, and I just know when I turn on the news.
Oh no!
Come Wednesday morning, there's going to be at least 10 of these. Okay, damn it! Please, if you drink it, I know you are. Don't get your ass on those scooters. Don't do it.
I agree with that.
Do not do it.
Don't do it.
Don't get on those damn. Matter of fact, they should put them things up.
I agree with you.
They should put them up tonight. Those things shouldn't be on the street.
I look at them exactly the same way as I look at a car. If you have been drinking tonight, don't get on
but
anything motorized.
But you know what
motorized.
People think? Don't oh, I can
it.
Get on a scooter. I'm fine. And they're drunk. And they're going to hit something. something's going to happen.
Or happen to themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
I completely agree.
Put those scooters away.
Yeah, I want
Nashville.
I don't want to see someone.
Put those scooters away.
Nobody needs to fall into the Cumberland tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, I saw this yesterday. I was leaving the Titans facility, and I went downtown, and obviously the Music City Bowl was yesterday.
Yeah.
And so you had a lot of Mississippi State fans, and then you had a lot of Louisville fans as well. And they're already, like, gone. Like, sauced up. And I saw these, like,
Broadway's undefeated.
I saw these group of guys, Mississippi State fans, like, just staring at a scooter, like, staggering. I'm like,
oh my goodness.
I hope you don't buy this scooter. And plus, it's 2 o'clock. Like,
don't
come on,
it.
Dog.
Just walk it off.
It was It was sunny outside. It was beautiful. Yeah, just walk it off.
I just walk. I mean, you're probably not from here. You know, you're a Mississippi State fan. You probably came from Starkville. Like, go walk around Nashville. Go explore. Yeah. Like, don't get on that scooter.
And it had just the air was cool enough just to sober you up just a little bit yesterday.
Just walk
if you were walking around.
Please don't get on those scooters.
So, yeah, be safe tonight. Make smart decisions, okay?
Just don't get on those damn scooters.
Make smart decisions today. All right, so. Obviously, the Titans finish 4 straight years at 9-7, and they go into the playoffs. And I do feel like there is an opportunity here for this organization, and not just in a sense of your regular old football playoff game. We all know that there's a regular old playoff game coming up, and whichever team realizes that it's just another football game first is the team that's going to execute and all that good stuff. All the cliches about getting up for a game emotionally and then bringing it back down to focus on doing your job, right, especially on offense. I just think there is an opportunity here for the Titans to show everybody that all of the stuff that we've been hearing from them and talking about and dealing with for the last few years, you can put it all to bed. This is your opportunity. I'll explain when we come back off and running on a New Year's Eve. Happy New Year's, everybody. Be safe tonight. We'll get to the Titans playoff game when we return right here on Morning Drive. Titans are in the playoffs. Winter Classic is tomorrow. Nice little week here. For Nashville sports fans, Derek Mason, Braden Gall here on Morning Drive, and certainly 1 o'clock tomorrow for the Winter Classic. Going to be a ton of fun. We've got all kinds of crazy programming updates for you guys, so try to keep track of all of this. Jared and the GM and Darren, Donick, and Chase are going to switch spots tomorrow, today, so that Darren, Donick, and Chase will be able to sit there during practice today and give you ringside updates on practice, which I think is something that I'm not sure I've ever heard on radio before, so that's going to be pretty cool. So they'll be able to actually give you analysis of what they're seeing during practice, which will be a unique experience for Preds fans. Jared and the GM will be your lunchtime coming up at 10 o'clock here. Tomorrow morning, coverage starts around 9 a.m. ringside with Chase and Ryan Porth, of course, and then a special edition of Smashville Live at 11 a.m. And, of course, they're expected to be joined by Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL, around 11:30. And then pregame coverage begins at noon, puck drop at 1. All the social media accounts right at 102.5 The Game. We got Gina from Promotions and our boy Calvin taking care of all the promotions and stuff on the social media. So a lot of coverage there from Dallas. It's going to be a ton of fun. 1 o'clock, though, is the prime event tomorrow. The Titans are in the postseason. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about this franchise from this franchise in the offseason, igniting the fire, you know, 2 years ago. And then this year, of course, the good to great, right? And we've got all week, Derek. We've got Thursday and Friday to get into, you know, how does Stephon Gilmore stop A.J. Brown? And what sort of pass rush do we expect to pressure Brady, because they were so good up the middle against this team last year? Like, we've got Thursday and Friday to get into this. But Taylor Lewan, you know, after the game, and the Tennessee Titans put this out on their Twitter account, I think it's hilarious. I have no problems with it. I'm cool with it. This was Taylor Lewan on just kind of celebrating after the win in Houston. The Titans put it out on their social media account. Let's just give a taste to, if you guys missed this, this was Taylor Lewan after the game.
What's up, my babies, my puppies? Derrick Henry, I believe, got the rushing record today, 211, and the boys are going to the playoffs. Let's go. Big hugs, tiny kisses.
Big hugs, tiny kisses, baby. So clearly Lewan's celebrating and is excited.
Mm-hmm.
And I got no, like, listen, I know some people don't like Lewan's shtick. It's doesn't go, you know, I don't care. I think it's fine. I think you work hard to get to the postseason. If you get to the postseason, you should celebrate. Here's the deal, though. If you're going to do all the things that Lewan does, which is the suspension and then the talking and all the boys stuff and the media and the podcasts and, you know, good to great is Vrabel and Robinson's thing, this is it. This is your chance. You are sitting here, and I spent all day yesterday thinking, this is the beauty of football. You can come into a season not knowing what to expect with your quarterback, not knowing what to expect at a lot of positions, you end up with the rushing leader changing quarterbacks midway, and still you finish 9-7, which I don't care about at all. What I care about is what happens on Saturday. You can erase all the 9-7 crap. You can actually go from good to great. You can do all the things you've been talking about if you just go up to New England and play one great football game. That's all it takes.
Yeah.
Is one great football game. And that's the beauty of football. Not like the NBA or baseball or hockey where you got to be great over a 2-week period of time. All you got to do is go up there and play one great game and you walk away with a win over the Patriots in the playoffs.
Yeah. They did it a few years ago where they got into the playoffs 9-7, won a playoff game, and it seems like with that win, the organization started to change its tune. Didn't no one think that they would go to New England and win, and you know, they didn't. But it seemed like with that win, the future, you know, was looking brighter for the Tennessee Titans. Then they come back the next following year, 9-7, but just missed the playoffs. So it's this cycle again. 9-7, you play well toward the end of the season because it's reminiscent of that year where toward the end of the season they had this patch of games where they were averaging 30-some points a game. You know, I believe it was DeMarco Murray at the time was running wild, and, you know, they had, you know, a receiver catching passes to Delanie Walker.
It looked like a dangerous team.
Yeah, it looked like a dangerous team heading to the playoff. Lo and behold, they beat a team in the first round that we thought they were going to lose to at their place, Kansas City. And it's sort of reminiscent of what's happening now, times or plus one, because, you know, they have, it seems like they have more explosive players.
Oh, yeah.
This go around. So, you know, I think this game truly means a lot in a big scheme of things of, you know, what do we think of the Nashville Predators, them too. But what do we
think? That would require them to make the playoffs.
What do we think of the Tennessee Titans? Are they the team that's going to, you know, go from good to great? Or are they still on the steps of good and haven't made that move yet? Beating New England in New England, even though this is not the same New England team that we have got accustomed to, still would mean a lot moving forward. So
I think there's some, I like to, symbology, which is not a word. The symbolism, if you're a Boondock Saints fan, it's, to me, like all the New England stuff, Vrabel got a ton of questions about this already after the game, and then again at his press conference yesterday, you know, talking about how do you make this, I haven't gotten a paycheck with New England's logo on it since 2008, right? Like he's not tied, like, but you cannot deny the connections. John Robinson worked for New England. You've got, what, two or three or four players that played at New England. You've got a coach who came from New England. You had Dean Pease who coached under Bill Belichick. You've got all these ties to New England, and it sets up perfectly for this moment where the franchise could possibly take the next step. Because the whole week this week, and I'm already seeing it starting yesterday, this whole week is going to be about the Patriots nationally. Mm-hmm. And I don't expect it to be about the Titans nationally. Nationally, the Titans don't move the needle. You know who moves the needle? The end of Tom Brady's career moves the needle. So that's what everyone's going to be talking about. Well, if you want to go from good to great, there is no better way to do that than to beat the defending Super Bowl champs who have won 6 Super Bowls, who are potentially the greatest of all time, and end their run. And this is your opportunity to do it. And all you got to do is play one good football game. You beat this team last year pretty handily. And they remember it for sure.
Oh, yeah.
As Kyle Van Noy and the Revenge Tour is beginning, apparently, for the New England Patriots. I could see New England just stomping all over your throat because that's what they do in the postseason. But I also think for some reason the Titans are going to play really well. And this is your chance. You know, for all the talk of Lawan and the PEDs and the changing quarterbacks and, you know, all the stuff that we've, the good to great cliches and all this stuff, it's all here. It's sitting right here for you this week. Go up there and block and tackle, right? Turn it into another football game. Be physical. I want to see Jeffrey Simmons and Jarrell Casey go up the middle and pressure Brady because that's how they won the game last year, even though it wasn't Simmons. There's a clear path to the next step as a franchise, and I couldn't agree with you more that this game feels like it means more than just a regular wild card game.
Well, it has to. you know, they got an opportunity to continue to do the work and finish the work that they set out to do at the beginning of the season. And however, you know, it didn't go quite the way they wanted it to go during the regular season, but they can make that up in the playoffs. And that depends on how far they get as a team. Now, if they go down to New England and go up to New England and lay an egg, then, you know, we're going to say, well, this is sort of the same sort of 9-17 we've seen for the last 3 years.
Bingo.
You know,
the 9-7 doesn't feel as good.
Exactly. So, you know, I believe this game is tailor made for them to go to New England and win. Not to say they're going to blow them out, but to win. And I don't think it's going to be the game that people assume it's going to be. People assume it's, you know, Titans are going to go up there and just, you know, do what they did, you know, last year. Nah, that's not going to happen. It's going to be a tough game. And, you know, the Titans are going to have to stick to what they have been doing and running the football and throwing the ball 20 times in this game. Because they're going to try to force the Titans to do something they're not accustomed to doing or they don't feel comfortable with doing, and that's throwing the ball 25-plus times.
Yeah.
They're going to try to do that.
Dude, they're going to put 11 guys in the box.
Yeah, they're going to try to
do that. Can they put 12 in the box? Can you do that?
I think you possibly can.
Belichick will figure out a way.
He'll figure out a way, and it'll look like 10. But they're gonna try to take them out of their comfort. They're going to try to make them do something they're not accustomed to doing.
They got three guys wearing the same pair of pants.
Exactly.
No,
the Titans are gonna have to. They got to know that,
like,
and they got to stick to their game plan.
Yeah, like the 9-7 thing. I don't care. Like, I really don't care. I mean, eventually you need to take another step as a franchise, but you know, the fact that you've produced winning seasons 4 straight years for a franchise that was as bad as it was and as irrelevant as it was for so many years, outside of basically one good year in 08 or whatever, and then the Chris Johnson year in 09. Other than those 2 years, for basically 15 years, this franchise has been irrelevant. So I think 9-7, 4 straight years, is a huge step in the right direction. But then there needs to be another step.
Yeah.
And if you go into the playoffs every year, every other year, let's say, you finish 9-7, and then you go into the playoffs every other year, and you lose every other year as a wild card, then what's the point of the 9-7? Sure, you're getting to the playoff game, and you're giving your fans that experience every other year. Mm-hmm. But it just feels so different unless you win it. And if you win it, and especially you do it against your former, and I'm going to call the New England Patriots like their former franchise, because this is sort of New England South here in Tennessee, where we've got a Patriots GM and a Patriots head coach, and a, you know, again, I know he didn't coach there at New England, but he played there and he won Super Bowls there, and you've got Deion Lewis and Malcolm Butler and Logan Ryan and on and on. It just feels so different with the 9-7 to me. With a loss, it feels like a bad 9-7. A 9-7 with a win in the playoffs, and it doesn't even matter. I don't even care what your record is then. If you're winning playoff games, that's all that matters. And I said this about Mariota. I'll say it about Tannehill. I'll be exactly the same on both of them. Mm-hmm. I don't care what your statistics are during the regular season. Tannehill obviously was great. Mm-hmm. I don't care what your win-loss record is necessarily, at least right now. Maybe next year we need to see growth and 10 or 11 wins or whatever, especially if you're going to give a quarterback $30 million. But you win the game, and it changes the entire feel of the 9-7. You lose the game, and you're disappointed in the 9-7 again. And I, unfortunately, that's the way this game works. You either win in the postseason or you don't, and that's and that's how you're judged. And you cannot go from good to great without going up to New England and getting a win. This is your opportunity.
It's part of the process. Each team. Each team has to go through a process, and in order to go through that process, you got to start systematically building your team and knocking teams off that have been on the top for so long. It can't no longer become, well, we just beat them in the regular season, they get in the playoffs, we end up losing to them. That's not the sign to me of a team that's going from good to great. The team that's going from good to great is beating the team during the regular season, then getting in the playoffs, and then beating them again. That shows the growth and maturity, because, listen, during the regular season, it's a little bit different. You know, especially early in the season, because you have a week to make it up. You can say, you know what, we played bad last week, but next week we can come back and we can get a W. Well, in the playoffs, you don't have that opportunity. That's when you lose, yep. you're gone. So the stakes are higher. The game tends to the nature of the game and how it's played tend to change in the playoffs. And if they can't realize that and play accordingly, meaning the Tennessee Titans, then to me, they're the same old 9-17. Just, you know, 9-7, you made it to the playoffs because, and this will be the narrative again, you made it to the playoffs because the AFC was bad this year. That's
well, I do think they look at it this year differently because of the Tannehill change thing. Like mm-hmm. the way the offense played, I think people are more optimistic about next year, maybe growth. Oh, what if he'd played all season? Well, then maybe they might have had a win or two, and maybe there's a difference there. Mm-hmm. And so I get that that's a way fans feel about this. But it's like it's sort of like the Ohio State-Clemson game. You know, Ohio State fans have a right to be upset at a bad call. Whether the fumble was a bad call or not, we can debate that. But like at the end of the day, you had a chance to make plays and you didn't make plays.
Mm-hmm.
You had your team in a position to win a championship, win a game and get to the championship, and you didn't make plays. That's sort of how I feel. It's like I don't care what record it is. You're in the game now. You're going to New England. New England's never made it to the Super Bowl when they had to play in the first weekend. They've been on bye basically their entire existence. They don't know how to win three games and get to the Super Bowl. It doesn't happen. It's never mm-hmm. happened. This is your chance right now. It doesn't matter what your record was. It doesn't matter who started the season at quarterback. It doesn't matter about any of that stuff. It doesn't matter that Lewan got suspended. It doesn't matter that he likes to talk a lot. Imagine if they actually win how much he gets to talk, and then we get to play all that on the show, and that makes for better radio. So I hope Taylor Lewan wins just because I want to hear what he has to say about it after the game. None of that matters. Go win a game right yeah. now, this weekend, against sort of the team you built your franchise, you know, sort of – in the image of, go win the game. This is it. And treat it like a football game. Don't make it too big. It's just another football game. Then you can win the game. Floyd Reese will ask his thought. We'll get his thoughts on all of this as we head into the new year. We got a Titans playoff game and the Winter Classic as well. Floyd Reese when we come back. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Morning Drive, Derek Mason, Braden Gall. Floyd Reese joining us here on the program. Host of Gerald and the Coach. Jared and the GM, SpongeBob and Mr. Krabs, Floyd Reese, how are you, sir? Happy New Year.
Known by any other name, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I'm Brandon. I've been Brandon my entire life, basically.
Oh, I'm sure.
In radio. Hey, Brandon, love the show. Do you really? Floyd, so let me add, like, so they've had all this, you know, Lewan had the suspension, and he kind of has the media empire he's starting to build, and he talks a lot, and... You know, the good to great from Vrabel and Robinson and the Titans and all this talk, all this stuff. And I know certainly the season didn't play out as anybody expected it, but you are on the road against the New England Patriots, the big, bad, evil dynasty, and all you got to do is play one good football game and all of that stuff comes to fruition. How do you go from, you know, making it as big as it can possibly be, because it does feel like it's going to totally define the season, to, hey, it's just another football game. We got to go out there and block and tackle.
Yeah, the thing I think you have to do is you have to understand that the things you've done all year long are still the most important things, you know. And you look at the last game for us. You know, you finish the season with a rookie 1,000-yard receiver, with a leading rusher in the league, with you know, Tannehill and his whatever it was rating or percentage completions leading the league and all of those things. And you look at those things and you say, okay, how did we get here? And, you know, you take it step by step, I think. And then after that, you say, okay, now we're going into a game where everything escalates. You know, everything, the mistakes are more dramatic. You know, I've always felt like, especially these early games are all determined by mistakes. So you go in there, you turn the ball over once or twice, you lose. I mean, that's the bottom line. You go in there and play the way you've played all year long, understanding, you know, who you're playing and the impact of the game, and go from there. You know, you can't make it too big, and it's probably hard to kind of minimize exactly what it is. But I think if you make it too big, you almost lead yourself to a point where you start doing dumb things. You know, you start trying to do things that you've never, ever done because you want it to be sensational, and it leads to an interception or a fumble or a blown coverage or, you know, something.
And now, Floyd, the Tennessee Titans started off really well from a defensive standpoint. The first five, six games of the season, they endured some injuries. And now this defense, which was one of the best in the National Football League, is no longer that. I think they end up finishing 12th, somewhere around there, in total defense. Can they win consecutive playoff games with this defense in a way it's playing, even if Adoree Jackson comes back? Because I think people believe Adoree Jackson, if he comes back, he's going to solve all their problems, and that's not the case. But can they, the way this defense is playing right now, win consecutive games starting in New England without a plan?
You know, I'm not sure. I mean, I'm a little bit concerned. You know, the offense and the defense have kind of switched spots. And, you know, the good teams, if you're a really good team, you get them both when you need them. And for us to be a really good team, we're going to have to play defense the way we played the first six games, eight games, whatever it was. And we're going to have to play offense the way we're playing now. Can we do that? I don't know. I think the injury has affected what Dean feels like he can do. And I think that therein lies the problem. You know, you figure you've got Logan and you've got your, fourth and fifth corner playing for you. Well, the things you can do from a coverage standpoint are limited only because Logan's probably your best cover guy. Well, if he's your best cover guy, you can't blitz him. And we know what a great blitzer he is. We saw it at the end of the game this week. So I think some of the things that they kind of used early in the year to create where they were now are taken away. And so it relies on, you know, they're stuck with, okay, we've got to play more zone than we want. And at least in my opinion, we're not a great zone team. And we got to rely on pass rush to help us with zone. Well, we're not a great pass rush team. And so, you know, where you're stuck, you're kind of stuck in mediocrity. And I don't know what the problem – the thing that Adoree would do coming back would – it would allow you to use some of the great versatility you were able to use with Logan early. And without that, you know, he's stuck in coverage all the time. And he's not even – I mean, you know, let's face it, he's not a great speed cover guy. You know, but he's the best you got. So that's, you know, what you're playing with.
Floyd Reese joining us here. Yeah, he's not, like, going to solve every single problem. And that's why pressure from Casey and Simmons up the middle is going to be so important. That's how they beat the Patriots in Nissan Stadium last year.
Especially this week.
Exactly.
It's Tom.
You get pressure on him up the middle, he gets uncomfortable. It's the way it is. Let's go to the other side of the ball, though, Floyd. And we know... Look, I'd like to go into the mind of what Vrabel and Arthur Smith are dealing with right now, because you sort of have to. This is the chess match. You know, Belichick is going to take away what you do best, so that's probably putting Stephon Gilmore on AJ Brown and saying, "Go take care of him." Then we're going to load the box to stop Derrick Henry in some way, shape, or form, whatever that may look like. They're built very much from the back end forward. They're loaded up in the secondary. They're not as deep and as talented or as invested in their front seven. How do you expect Arthur Smith to anticipate that action from Belichick and then counter it?
Yeah, I think anticipating what he's going to do maybe isn't as big a factor as the second part. The anticipating what he's going to do, the thing Bill always does that is different from everybody else, you know, if you just looked at these two teams and asked a majority of football coaches, okay, what would you do if you were on defense? They would do just what you said. You know, okay, let's take Brown away and let's load the box and take away the running game, and then what do they have? Bill always goes that extra step, that extra one that you never quite get to, and we don't know what that is, and that's the hard part. You remember back in the Super Bowl against the Rams, you know, everybody was, what kind of scheme are they going to do? What's going to be the big thing they do? Well, it boiled down to, we've got to do a great job of jamming the receivers in the line of scrimmage. Can't let the receivers get off. So all of the game plans and all that stuff, as important as it was, wasn't as important as jamming those receivers. And I think in Bill's case, that's what you have to look for. You know, you're expecting the two things. You're expecting him to take Brown away and take the run game away. Well, what's that extra thing? And I think that's where he stumps a lot of people. Now, if you're Mike, I think he's probably going to have as good a feel as anybody just because of the amount of time he spent with him. But is that going to be enough? You know, is that, will that help? And we certainly hope so. Now, that being said, a guy like Brown is going to have to go out and find a way to beat Gilmore. You know, let's face it, as hard as it is, I mean, if you're going to be the guy, then you're going to have to do that. We saw Davis when, a couple years ago, I mean, run Gilmore out of the ballpark. Okay, well, what was that? How did you do that? The same thing with the run game. You know, I think you're going to have to do some things that you've never done, and you're going to have to do some things that they don't expect. And that's, you do that, I think, with formations. You do it maybe with motions. You do it maybe with things like snap counts, you know, changing up. But you know you're going to get that on the other side. You know, they're going to put a defensive tackle in the backfield, and they're going to throw him a 50-yard touchdown pass. I mean, those kind of things you have to expect from this team.
Floyd, always a pleasure. Can you give me a pick, a leaning, a feel, reading the tea leaves before? I know you're going to make a bunch of picks with Jared, but can you give our audience just a little taste of what you're thinking about Saturday night?
You know what? I really don't know. I mean, I'll say this. I think of all the years that we've been in a situation like this playing this team, I think we can go in there saying, hey, I feel it's at least 50-50. And I can't remember the last time we could even say that. You know, it's always you're going in, you're thinking, oh, my God, you know, Derek's going to have to run for 600 yards for us to win. Well, I don't think that now. I think there's a good chance if you were able to go in and play your game on both sides of the ball, the defense we talked about early and the defense now, and not turn the ball over at all, then you're really, you know, you're going to be right there.
Yeah, it feels like they've got a better chance to win this one than they have had at any point in the past. Floyd, always a pleasure, my friend. You can catch him at 10 today with Jared Snowman, 10 to 2.
I'm excited.
Yeah, there you go.
A little early.
Thank you, Floyd. Floyd gets
Happy
done.
Floyd,
same to you, Floyd.
Floyd's done it too. He can go with the missus and go catch the 4 p.m. breakfast, dinner buffet, excuse me.
Yeah, 4 or 5 o'clock, 5 o'clock a.m. by 7.
Luby's.
Yeah. They could pop the champagne at the Reese household the back porch.
They count down to 7 p.m.
Yeah,
this is mean. Is this mean-spirited now that he's gone and probably not listening
not really.
To us?
Nah, he probably would laugh.
No, I love Floyd. So I want your thoughts, Derek, on what the offense should anticipate from Bill Belichick and the Patriots, and then how do they counter those moves? I want to get those thoughts. And then Arthur Smith is going to be one of the guys that we pay the most attention to this week. He's also a guy that could be being mentioned for other jobs, as yesterday a bunch of coaches were fired. So we'll get you up to date on all the latest in the coaching carousel, what that means for Arthur Smith, and then what does the Titans offense have to do to anticipate the Bill Belichickian coaching moves on Saturday night. We'll do all that when we come back right here on Morning Drive. You're listening to Morning Drive live from the Wholesaling Studio powered by RumbleOn.com. Morning Drive, Derek Mason, Braden Gall. First question for you, Derek, because listen, we'll get to the coaching carousel as there are four jobs open in the NFL. Arthur Smith's name has been very, very loosely mentioned for a couple of these jobs. I don't think he is anywhere near a top candidate for any of these jobs, but it is something that Titans fans need to consider because Arthur Smith has done a great job this year. And so I think he's largely considered a guy that's moving up the ranks in, as far as team interest in his services. He might, you know, somebody might hire him to be an offensive coordinator. Maybe there's a better job out there. I doubt that he would want to leave the Titans organization because he's been a part of this organization for so long. But you never know. You just never know what's going to happen. So the Titans need to be prepared. So we'll get to that. My question is, what does Arthur Smith need to anticipate from Bill Belichick? Because like Floyd just said, the simple answer is Gilmore on Brown, stop him, and then load the box to stop Derrick Henry. Now let's figure out what to do. Is it that simple, or are there two or three other layers of deception Bill Belichick's got for Arthur Smith?
I think Bill is never just that simple. Bill is going to pull out some defense from 2007 and something he hasn't used in over a decade. and implement it in this game. Here, I think this is the way, and Floyd was right. This is the way I feel. If you're going to, you know, slow down or contain or stop A.J. Brown, you got to press him. He's a young guy, and he hadn't quite learned or mastered the art of getting off the press. And I think if you play him close, you're going to throw off the timing, and then I think you're going to get more. You might even get a pass interference or two offensively, because no one has played him other than Lattimore and maybe one or two other players. No one has challenged him, or no one has got up on him and impressed him. Everyone has played off, and it's largely in part because of the way Derrick Henry is running the football. But when you have a corner like a Stephon Gilmore, your advantage is you can play press because he has the foot speed to go deep. He has to change of direction. He's physical, and he can just throw off the timing just a little bit with the quarterback and the receiver. And that's all Bill wants to do, is to throw off the timing just a little bit to where now Tannehill has to pump. He has
to wait half a second.
Yep. So the defensive line can get to him, or the safety can recognize what's going on. I think that's what they're going to do. They're not just going to let him run free, because when he's running free, he's dangerous. You have to – it's sort of like Derrick Henry. Everybody wants to – if you stop Derrick Henry at the – if you just get a hit on him at the line of scrimmage or yard downfield, then everybody else can come. But if that big fella gets through and you're tackling him on the second level
– you're chasing.
Yeah. It's not good for you. That's what they're going to do, I believe, with A.J. Brown, is don't let him get into his route clean. Put your hands on him. Make it difficult for him. Frustrate him a little bit, because they're going to get away with some holding calls or whatnot. So frustrate him a little bit and then allow everyone else to do what they're going to do. Bill's going to pay attention to the tight end. He's just not going to let him run scot-free. So it's going to be incumbent on Arthur Smith to go into this game wanting to target A.J. Brown, but
being willing to
go to Corey Davis.
Tajay Sharpe.
Or Tajay Sharpe or Khalif Raymond if he's back. They have to be willing to run the football consistently and do that.
And be willing to take 2 and 3 yards in the first half with Derrick Henry, knowing that those 2 and 3 yarders, you know, they turn into 5 and 6 yarders in the third quarter, and then 7 and 8 yarders in the fourth quarter, and maybe he breaks off a long one. Arthur Smith's got a tough job in front of him. He has done a great job, and he's been mentioned a couple of times, not directly with any teams. Teams have not requested to interview Arthur Smith. There's been a lot of requests, but the carousel around the NFL, of course, Jay Gruden has been fired by the Redskins many days ago. It looks like the Falcons, Lions, and Jets are going to stick with their guys. Of course, Dan Quinn, Matt Patricia, Adam Gase there. The Panthers fired Ron Rivera a little while ago. The Giants fired Pat Shurmur yesterday, who I think is going to make a hell of an offensive coordinator. If the Titans ever lost Arthur Smith for any reason, I would call Pat Shurmur in no time.
Of course.
Jason Garrett's contract just runs out tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's no new deal. I would assume that means the Cowboys' job will be open. To me, Doug Marrone is meeting with his team in Jacksonville today, the organization, so they'll probably have a decision coming today. Freddie Kitchens out as the Browns head coach as well. So we've got the Panthers, the Redskins, the Browns, and the Giants all open right now. And I wouldn't be surprised if Arthur Smith gets a look by somebody. It doesn't look like he's on the top of the list. Mike McCarthy is a name that you're going to see. Ron Rivera looks like he's going to be tabbed as the new Redskins coach. You know, Greg Roman is a guy you've talked a lot about, him and the way he's catered that offense. I just don't know why you'd want to leave what you've built at Baltimore right now. I know you want your head coaching job. I know that's what you want, but you've built your team around this particular player so well. And this is what I wanted to ask you. Why does the NFL lack so much creativity when it comes to hiring coaches? It just feels like they do the same guys over and over again. And I look at what Greg Roman did. He sort of said, you know what? I'm not going to focus on what Lamar Jackson can't do. I'm going to focus on what Lamar Jackson can do, and I'm going to build the entire offense around that organizationally, mm-hmm. and it worked. I like Ron Rivera. I think he's a nice guy. I don't know why the Redskins think he is the answer. Mike McCarthy won a Super Bowl. I know he's a decent coach, but it's just retread after retread after retread in the NFL. You can say college is less than the NFL, and I'm fine with that. But it's more creative. They're willing to take risks in college. They don't do that stuff. Like Jeremy Pruitt gets a crack in college. He doesn't get a shot in the NFL.
Well, because there are so many jobs in college football that you can afford to give a guy a chance. And, you know, if it doesn't work after 3-4 years, you know, you can go out and get another guy. You can go out and get, a guy that recruits well, or you can go out and get a guy that's a great teacher, or a guy that knows offenses. In college football, there are so many things you can do in regards to hiring coaches that it's a little bit more. They're more willing to take a chance on a guy with a little less experience, and they figure we can work them in, and there are so many Division I and Division II, so guys get chances after chances after chances.
Does Josh McDaniels inspire you?
No, not really.
It doesn't really turn me on that much.
But in the NFL, it's like, you know, if a coach has some success and extended success like Ron Rivera has had, he's been 2-time Coach of the Year. So he's doing something well.
I mean, McCarthy won a Super Bowl.
Yes,
I get
it. They're going to continue to get those guys. They're going to continue to give those guys chances because they look at the situation and they look at Ron's situation and said he had a bunch of injuries. You know, his main guy was down, which is his quarterback. He had to work with that. They look at McCarthy and they say, well, he dealt with injuries on his side of the ball. When they're fully healthy, this team has been just as good as anybody else. So, you know, they look at the pros and the cons with those guys, and sometimes the pros outweigh the cons. And it's not like these guys are like 70, 80 years old either. They're still relatively young, and they feel young when you look at them, and they don't look like this old, you know, beat down coach.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like if you told me at the end of this whole thing that the new coaches in the NFL are Ron Rivera, Mike McCarthy, and Josh McDaniels, I'm like, those aren't new coaches. It's the same old guys.
You know why?
Because, now, Matt Rhule from Baylor is getting a lot of love. Lincoln Riley from Oklahoma might get some love. Those are some interesting names. Greg Roman has done such an interesting job to me that I find him to be a more interesting name.
I don't know if Roman is really a head coach. I think Roman will be regarded pretty soon here as one of the best offensive minds in the National Football League. Some guys are just built to be coordinators. Some guys are built to be coaches. Some
North
guys
Turner.
Are built to be defensive coordinators.
Wade
Some
Phillips.
Guys can't be both DC and head coach or OC and head coach. Some guys can't. They're just not. They can't, not to say they can't handle it, they're just not built for that head coaching thing. They love their list. They're offensive coordinators. They live in that world. They love that world. They thrive in that world. Or their DCs, they do the same. But the minute they step up to head coaching, there's a disconnect with them and the team somehow, some way after about a year or two. I think Greg Roman will be regarded pretty soon here as the best offensive coordinator in the NFL. I don't know if he gets a head coaching job, he would be considered one of the best head coaches in the National Football
League. Is that why Brent Venables kind of gets the sexy pick all the time? Because he's the top coordinator in the country, and all of a sudden people look at that like, oh, since he's a coordinator at Clemson, has the best defense in the country every single year, maybe he could be a head coach. And that's why he gets that sexy pick in college.
I mean, Bud Foster from Virginia Tech for 30 years was interviewed for a bunch of jobs, and he just never wanted to leave to not be anything more than a defensive coordinator. Venables, what's fascinating about Venables is, of course, he was run out of town at Oklahoma, ironically, and couldn't stop anybody, and then reinvented himself in Clemson, which is really strange. I just see guys like Vrabel as a little bit more of a new blood, risky hire. Mm-hmm. It appears to have worked out. They're in the playoffs. I look at Kyle Shanahan and Matt LaFleur and Sean McVay and like these younger, riskier, unknown hires. Greg Roman is maybe, I don't know if he's in that category or not, but like I just see those guys, and at least it's more interesting. That maybe there's more risk, but there's more upside. It just feels like, you know, in college, teams are willing to take risks, and sometimes it pays off in a big way, and sometimes it doesn't. But at least you see teams taking chances. If I'm a Giants fan, like, I don't know. I see these names, and they're just so uninspiring to me that Josh McDaniels, Ron Rivera, and again, Ron's a nice guy. He's a good defensive coach. Like, I get all of that. McCarthy's a nice guy, good offensive coach. I just, if I'm a fan of a team, I like the go after the younger, riskier, upside higher. Because, you know, if you're just going to fire the guy in 2 or 3 years anyway, why not take some extra risk and maybe get some extra upside? I thought the Titans did that with Vrabel and to some degree with Arthur Smith, a relative unknown. Not as sexy, but it's worked out for them. And they're in the postseason right now. So,
well, yeah, I mean, these coaches have proven plans. They have plans that have
That's
worked.
That's true. Experience.
And the owners tend to go with what I have seen that has worked with these head coaches. They don't want to deal with these young coaches that maybe have a plan, but I don't know if it's going to work or not.
Yeah. I'm hiring Matt Rhule from Baylor right now if I'm any of these teams. I think that guy's done a fantastic job. I would hire Matt Rhule. All right, when we come back, Winter Classic, we'll get you ready to go with all of the programming information you need. And how should fans be watching this game? Because there's two different ways you could approach it. I'll give you my thoughts. Derek will give you his when we come back right here on Morning Drive.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.